Welcome back to the Moms Better Together podcast. I'm Heather Riggleman with my co-host, Lori Wildenberg. We're getting ready to dive into episode 2, but before we get to that, be sure to check out episode 1, where we give a broad overview of Joseph's character and his life. But let me introduce my co-host, Lori. She's a licensed parent and family educator, author, speaker, mom to 4, and most recently, a Mimi to 2.
Woo-woo! Yes, pretty good gig. So, life is good, right? And now it is my pleasure to introduce Heather to you. She's an author, freelance writer, speaker, and she's a mama to 3. And for today's episode, episode 2, we are going to be talking about how to cultivate kindness and gentleness. Doesn't that sound awesome? How to cultivate kindness and gentleness in an unkind, and I'm going to say kind of even a pretty darn rude culture. Mm-hmm. Heather, why don't you go ahead and set the stage for our topic for today's episode?
Sure. Okay, so be sure to read chapters Genesis 37 through 50. These chapters contain all of Joseph's story, but today we're going to be zeroing in on Genesis 50 verses 15 through 21 and Ephesians 4:32. And Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. So we've combined these portions of scripture because kindness and compassion flow out of a forgiving heart. After Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, it would be reasonable to assume that Joseph would be angry and unforgiving. The thought that he could deal with his brothers years later with kindness and gentleness is astounding. But God used those 13 years of being a slave and a prisoner to temper Joseph's character. So instead of seeking revenge when the opportunity presented itself, Joseph showed incredible kindness to those who had been most cruel to him. So even though Joseph had already provided food for his family during the famine, his brothers were unsure where they stood with him. So once their father Jacob had died, they feared that Joseph would finally take his revenge. But Joseph said to them in Genesis 50, verse 19, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And then he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. So Lori, how would you respond to this? I don't think I could have been as kind as he was in that moment. I mean, I'm pretty sure I would have like said some not so nice things.
Yeah, man, I can't even imagine the depths of Joseph's pain. And you know, not only had he already demonstrated that he had forgiven them and wasn't holding a grudge, and he wasn't going to let them starve. Here he sees that his brothers thought perhaps some of his kindness was only due to the fact that their father was still living. Mm-hmm. And man, okay, first they betray Joseph when he's a teen. And then when Joseph's a man, they misunderstand him. And then they try to manipulate his response. And even in the middle of that, he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. I can't even imagine how selfless that Joseph was in this particular matter and how deeply he must have been grieved. Scripture describes the scene between Joseph and his brothers, and it also mentions Joseph's heartache. I mean, that's real, right? Scripture always tells it, warts and all. And so when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God, your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. Joseph wept over this because his brothers continued to misunderstand him. I think the pain of that must have been so hard. And it's hard for me to grasp, you know, the betrayal and then not only that, but then the manipulation and the being misunderstood. It must have just grieved him so deeply.
Oh no, I completely agree with you. I think he was super blessed that God gave him over a decade to deal with those feelings. I think that was very much a part of his healing. But here's another question for you. Why do you think it's so hard to show gentleness and kindness in today's day and age?
It's a human quality to be selfish. We've all got that selfish human bone, right? Mm-hmm. And when we lack compassion, that bone grows, that selfishness bone grows. And boy, today, I just think compassion and kindness are in short supply. And kindness and gentleness are born out of the feeling of compassion, to be able to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and to really care for them. Compassion and empathy really are the things that draw out kindness and gentleness in people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And yeah, you know, and here today, right, we've got so much going on. Like everyone's trying to get their needs met and trying mm-hmm. to get to the front of the line and, you know, whatever that looks like. And even if it means stepping on someone's toes. Well, I had a situation where I was going to the drive up at the bank. Mm-hmm. I had a little deposit to make, so I needed to get into one of two lines. The one of two lines were the, you know, the commercial lines, not the ATM. And so as I pulled into the parking lot, I noticed that both commercial lines had one car in it. And then there was one car sitting quite a ways back, straddling both of the lines. Mm-hmm. And so... So I'm thinking, I know what they're doing. One of two things. Either they are just getting ready to get their bank statement ready so that when they pull up, it's set. Or they're waiting to see which person goes out first and then they'll scoot into that line. Well, I have to say, Heather, I was a little annoyed with the straddling the thing. And so I thought, well, they need to commit to a line.
Every right? mom has been through this, Lori.
Commit to the line. Commit.
Yes.
So I committed. I drove up and got into one of the two lines. And oh my goodness, the horn honking behind me was unbelievable.
Really?
Oh, so mad. So mad. And then not only that, but they drove up right next to me and attempted to block me so that I couldn't move forward if the person exited. Well,
oh, wow.
My response was, I mean, I have a kind of a little meanness in me. So my response was to ignore them mm-hmm. and do what I needed to do. And then I was thinking, well, I sure hope they don't have a gun because people are kind
exactly.
of crazy right
That's
now.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And, but I thought, gosh, pick a line. You know, I mean, I did not have compassion for that person. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they were in a hurry. I probably could have backed up and waved her ahead and then gotten into the other line. I don't know. Either who knew which line was going to move faster. Mm-hmm. But even though that person's behavior was quote unquote wrong, mm-hmm. my behavior honestly really wasn't much better. Because it was still born out of, you know, selfishness uh-huh. and thinking, well, I'm right in this. And technically I was right, but I could have been better. And, mm-hmm. and I wasn't. And I just thought, well, too bad for you. And then they ended up they drove off because it was taking too long. Both lines took too long. So apparently they were in a huge hurry. And I was really getting, you know, I was usurping their plan. So, yeah, kindness and gentleness, those are qualities for us, not only to grow in our kids, which I think is super important, but, you know, this is an ongoing thing for each of us as well as adults. So we need to not only nurture that in our kiddos, but in ourselves. And I do believe when we do nurture that compassion and gentleness, when we do grow that in our families relationships have a tighter bond, a more caring bond, a more interconnected, more interdependent bond. And really, it benefits society as large as well. So Heather, how would you describe kindness and gentleness? Like, what do you think that looks like?
Well, it reminds me of a story.
Can't wait to hear.
We both know I have like a very fiery attitude. We both know that I am kind of like Johnny on the spot. Like if I make a decision, it's going to be done. I kind of have an attitude when it comes to that. And so I've been super blessed to be able to somehow teach my kids kindness and compassion. So at the time, my son was in second grade. And one morning while I was at work, the school had called. And you know, when the school calls, it's never good. But I found out that Elijah and a group of boys were in trouble for pulling a prank. And so the boys actually thought it would be funny to lock all of the bathroom stalls. So they went into the stalls, locked them, and then crawled out from underneath. And they just thought this was like the funniest thing. I mean, this is what 8-year-old boys do, right? Mm. So anyways, at that time, all the boys were leaving the bathroom, and then Elijah noticed that a teacher was coming in. And this just wasn't any teacher. This was a teacher who had severe disabilities. His hands were so gnarled that, it was hard for him to grip anything. And then his disabilities also caused him to walk with like a limp and a cane. So Elijah went back and asked his buddies for help, but they all scattered because they didn't want to get caught. And so my son ran back into the bathroom, crawled underneath every single one of those stalls and unlocked them, but he still got in trouble. all of the boys were in the principal's office, and Elijah wasn't saying a word about who had helped him, who had done what. He was just going to accept the consequences because he did not want that teacher to feel as though that they had singled him out and it had done that on purpose. Mm. And so in that moment, my son taught me that kindness is seeing others, with your heart.
He knew he messed up and he fixed it. And yet he still took the consequences for that. And even kind of remained loyal to his friends in the process.
He did.
And he
to
can
his
have
detriment.
Well, he can have a clear conscience, you know, and that's worth way more than getting out of trouble. And it might not seem like that in the moment, but that's a story that's going to be one that he's going to remember. And he walked away from that with a clear conscience. So that's pretty awesome. Really
for being,
awesome.
Yeah, for being an 8-year-old little boy, like it brought me to tears. I was just like, oh my gosh, he did something that was right.
Oh, that's so good. And, and they were just, being little stinkers, little rascals. It's not the worst thing in the world, but yet, it was something that could have had unkind results, and he realized that.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So what kind of strategies have you used to create this atmosphere of gentleness and kindness in your home?
Well, I have two tips. One of them is like the phrase, and I think I've mentioned this before, where my phrase that I always tell the kids is guard your gates. And so this phrase used to be like a signal to my kids, like when they were little, when they were little, I wanted them to like cover their eyes or their ears if something inappropriate came on TV, or if we saw something inappropriate. But now as they've gotten older, it's more about guarding their gates towards other people. So It's a simple way of being mindful of their speech or actions. And so it's like, so if Elijah has an attitude and he's not being so nice to his sister, it's like, I'll ask him, are you guarding your gates? Before you say a word, ask yourself, is what you're saying kind? Is it helpful? Does it build someone up or tear them down? So that's one of the tips that I have.
Oh, wow. I love that. Guard your gates.
It's so important. I mean, it not only just for, you know, what it is that you're going to be viewing and that sort of thing, but guarding your gates in terms of like harming someone else. I mean, this is one way that you can show compassion and kindness. And the other one that I constantly tell my kids is remember that kindness and gentleness isn't easy. So as moms, we definitely don't tolerate name calling when they're in the sandbox. It's the same when they're like tweens or teens. And so like if Elijah's like had a rough day at school and he calls his sister stupid for, you know, forgetting the mail, like not that that happens here, you know, I always make them, you know, have them acknowledge, you know, how they're feeling and remind them that their feelings don't dictate how they get to treat others unkindly. And so I will point out their actions and I will also point out, you know, everybody else's reactions to what they've done. And so it's like, do you see how she winced when you said that? Do you see the tears in her eyes? And so it's just a reminder that your words are so powerful. And it's also a reminder that, you know, it's hard to be gentle and kind. It is sometimes. You have to put your feelings, you have to put your feelings aside.
Oh, that's really good. Pointing out the cause and effect to your kids. And you're right. Kindness and gentleness, I don't think comes naturally. And I don't think it's easy. And I think we have a perception that that could be weakness, but it's not weakness, it's strength. In fact, even in Proverbs 25:15, it says, gentleness is strong enough to break a bone. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Think of that. Ooh. A gentle tongue can break a bone. That's how strong gentleness is. And it is a strength. It is not a weakness. And I do think sometimes people confuse kindness with compromise. Mm. And kindness is something that actually always tells the truth. And kindness isn't compromise. Kindness is being tender toward a person and seeing them for who they are, like your son seeing the teacher for who he was. And it's not a compromise. It's kindness and compromise are very different. And I think to add on to your two, the guarding your gates and remembering that kindness and gentleness isn't easy, I've got a few to add on to that.
Oh, do tell. What are your tips?
Well, I would say that kindness and gentleness and that do flow out of compassion come from a position of being a helper.
Okay.
And helpers, again, that is not a weakness. That is a strength. And needing help isn't a weakness. It is a strength. And kindness is the thing that responds to that. And even God in scripture, David calls him our helper. God is a helper. So that is not a weak position. It is a godly position. And to reach out and help or to ask for help are kind things, kind acts. And it provides a sense of we are all in this together. We are the three musketeers, all for one and one for all, that we're able to help each other out in our family. And kindness is demonstrated through small acts of helping, holding open a door. That is an act of kindness. And to catch our kids doing that, I think, is really critical, so that they see that we see it, and that reinforces that kind behavior. You and I have kind of talked about, Heather, about rudeness and how we need to deal with that. And the way you deal with that is with respect. And if rudeness happens in your home, you can say, I treat you with respect. I expect respect in return. And when we fold that into the respect rather than rudeness, and we expect respect, one thing that we need to be very careful of is to avoid sarcasm. Sarcasm is rude and it is disrespectful. And our kids don't know, is mom making fun of me or is she really having fun with me?
True.
And it has such mixed messages that we have to avoid sarcasm because we need to be direct rather than indirect when we are trying to correct a behavior and always tell them what we want. So kindness is really respect in plain clothes, right? So we need to have that kindness woven in with respect. It raises the bar for us. Mm-hmm. And to provide, to be respectful enough to provide real feedback. Sometimes my kids would, if I would like give them a compliment on what they had done, they would be like, oh, well, you're just my mom, right? It was kind of like,
yeah, your mom.
Yeah, whatever. Just dismiss yeah. it because like moms have to say that stuff. But if we can provide real feedback that's actually very specific, not just nice job, but wow, you know, I really noticed how you took your time with this particular thing and look at the wonderful result that you got from that. I think kindness is also speaking the truth mm-hmm. and showing them and giving them real feedback, not fake feedback. And the last thing that I think that can really bring up kindness in a family is to develop that humility. And there are a bunch of ways that we can demonstrate humility. One is to totally show that we are human too, and that we make mistakes and to own up to them and to try to do better, to allow our kiddos to make mistakes and own up to them so that they can do better. Those are really important pieces of humility. But I would say that another piece that is important is to train our kids in sportsmanship. Mm-hmm. Because there are always going to be winners and they are always going to be losers. And there are sore winners and sore losers. And there are people who can win with grace and those who can lose with grace. And this is the thing that we need to shoot for, being graceful and grace-filled in either the winning or the losing, because our kids are going to experience both. Mm-hmm. And we hope that they do, because when they do, then they can also get a sense of more compassion and more empathy and gain more kindness to other people when they are in those situations. So I would say having the atmosphere of having a helper and expecting respect and increasing humility in our kids are three additional ways to your guarding your gates and remembering that kindness and gentleness aren't easy. I think those are really five good tips that really help moms and dads raise a Joseph.
I definitely agree, especially when it comes to the sportsmanship, because I mean, we live in a culture where everybody wins. And I think it's super important for parents to teach, you know, that you do need to learn how to lose gracefully. I mean, it is such a vital part of life.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone feels disappointed, especially mm-hmm. if their heart and soul is into it. But, you know, there are really great things that God can teach us in the losing and in the mistakes and in the messing up and in the getting caught by the principal. You know, there are great things that can be taught. And so, yeah, and I think that those will get us to helping mold our kiddos' hearts so that they have a more forgiving and humble and kind and compassionate heart, like Joseph demonstrated when he was speaking with his brothers.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, the entire Bible is just filled with story after story where, you know, God wasn't helping I mean, the people that were winning. I mean, there are some stories, you know, that relate to that. But all of the stories that I've seen so far, like especially with Joseph, I mean, he was constantly losing. He was constantly on the wrong. I mean, you're in prison for something you didn't do. Like your brother sold you into slavery. I mean, God is. I think we learn more from God, and our relationship grows closer to God when we're in the messy middle, when we're making the mistakes. I think that's. I think that's where his character and his strength really shine through. And so it also reminds me of today's verse. And so I'm going to go ahead and read that again and just kind of reiterate like what we're hanging on to today. And so Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So Lori, would you want to close us in prayer?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for reminding us that gentleness is strength, that compassion and kindness are things that will help us really bond with our family, grow our kids' character. I pray that you grow those qualities in us as moms and also grow those qualities in our kids. Help us to see and help our kids to see that losing and making a mistake and having bad things happen actually are places where the Lord can work with us and to show us how to have empathy and compassion for another. Lord, let us treat each other with gentleness and respect. And I pray that as we go about our day, that we have gentleness and respect reflected in our family so that we can glorify you and in our community at large. And Father, even at the bank. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And that concludes today's show.
We hope this episode encouraged you and has equipped you with some easily applicable parenting tools. So yes, moms, give us a like.
And if you want to know more about Lori Wilderberg and me, Heather Riegelman, be sure to check out our website, wearemomstogether.com.
Moms Better Together is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed Heather and Lori's conversation today, will you take a minute to leave them a rating and review in your favorite podcast app so more people like you can find the show? This podcast was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. To find more faith-filled, encouraging podcasts like this one, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Scott. As a servant of God, wife, and mother of four, I understand the juggle of multiple roles and stages. That's why I created the Encourager podcast, to help guide us through the messy middle stage of life. Join me on the Encourager as we challenge the chaos and embrace harmony. Together, we'll create practical systems to balance your roles and fulfill priorities. And we will do it while having joy and energy for both home and work life. Tune in for inspiring stories and interviews, actionable tips, and methods to do both home and work life. Because here, we believe you can do all things, just not all at once.